Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you'd probably expect me to be in a pretty good mood this morning, wouldn't you? You'd think so. I'm down here in Andy Griffith territory, down there in Mount Airy. You'd think I'd be in a good mood. Went last night and at the Franklin Graham concert. I was hanging out with a bunch of different friends. You'd think I'd, you know, be like a guy says, you know, I can't stand that coach because in the morning, after he's had a good steak, he wakes up in a bad mood. Well, which, you know, I'm really not in a bad mood, but it's just some things we got to say here today. I appreciate you joining us. Tell your friends they want to tune in today. Got a room full of guys. We're live and in color from all the tech. That's right. Live and in color from where Jared does this show every day. I'm looking at my screen, Jared. I don't know why, or Connor. It goes dark blue, then it goes, and then I don't. Anyway, most of you probably aren't aware of that. We are in Mount Airy, home of Andy Griffith, Opie, Barney, and the crew. In fact, they have a museum here to Andy Taylor, Andy Griffith. And we came down last night, a bevy of us, probably 15 or 16 of us, I think. OJ's down here, and Dorit is down here, and Linda's down here. Now I'm going to forget somebody once I start doing it. Joseph's here, and Joseph's wife, and Larry, and Robert, and Mike, and Polly, and Coach Dave's wife, whatever her name is, and Sue Knapp's here, and Mark Trump, and Mark Trump's wife's coming this morning, and I'm forgetting somebody. Anyway, we got a bevy of us down here last night. We went out to the Billy Graham crusade. Hey, come here, Connor. Here's Connor's first big moment. We got Connor's. He plays football. Get over here. He's too skinny to play for me. Connor's the one that runs. He runs the show behind the scenes, and first chance to come down and watch the show live. Jared gave him 5 minutes off, so there he is. I say, put that up there, Connor. That's the guy that does that. Okay. So, thanks, Connor. So we went to the Billy Franklin Graham crusade last night. I'm going to give you again. This is the guy eating the steak at night and then being mad the next day. Okay, but I just got some things I got to say out, get out of myself, out of my system, and then we're going to I'm going to involve all the guys that are in the queue here, give them a chance to jump here and say some stuff to us. A couple things about we went last night to Franklin Graham. What was it? What was the name of that, Mike? What did they call that thing? Here, when I say, look, huh? Is that something right there? They say in the multitude of many counts is great wisdom. I'm a little worried here this morning. You know what I'm talking about, right? Anyway, Franklin Graham's doing some type of rally down here, and it was really. Let me say the nice things real quickly here, okay? Praise the Lord, the place was packed. The traffic was unbelievable, unbelievable, and I thank God that people came to Franklin Graham rather than sitting home and watching something on television or Fox sitting in front of Fox News or whatever. Thank God it mattered enough to them that they got in their cars and they went to a Franklin Graham crusade event, whatever it was. Thank God. And they were a friendly crowd. And we handed out a lot of Equal Justice tour cards last night, and that is really, really all good. But see, the whole time we're there, I'm looking around and I'm saying, golly, why can't we get these folks engaged in the war? Is Franklin Graham going to give a battle cry tonight? Is he going to call the meet me on the beach? Is he giving a call to do that? Is Franklin Graham, I'm thinking he's got, how many were there? Anybody know how 10,000 you think there last night? A lot of people there. I'm thinking, did Franklin Graham at the end of that say, meet me at Planned Parenthood tomorrow? Well, they say, well, that's not what he does. Okay, what does he do? What does he do? Well, say, Coach, he comes and he gives sermons, and then he has music, And then he gives another sermon. Then he has an altar call and people get saved. That's what Franklin Graham does. All right. Cool. Then what?
Well, and then he cashes all their checks.
Well, we did say that last night. And I'm not going to make fun. I'm not going to really criticize that because money makes the world go around. And that Franklin Graham group, they do unbelievable stuff, folks. Listen, they do. What, Samaritan's Purse, is that the name of it? Every time we go to disaster relief, Samaritan's Purse is there. And I got to tell you something. They have semi-trucks. They have skid steers. They have tractors. They have chainsaws. They have all the equipment that you could ever do. So I'm going to say this publicly. God bless Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse because they do marvelous work. And Chad, you're right. They did probably cash a lot of checks last night. And thank God that they did. Thank God. So I don't want to be like some little chihuahua sitting in here in my little studio with six guys complaining about a guy who had 20,000 people there. I'm not trying to make that comparison. Okay. Stay with me here. Thank God for him and thank God for what he's doing. But we who were there last night handing out the cards, well, I'm going to let them tell you a little bit about it. I got a couple emails that I got to share with you if I can do that. Would that be a good place to start? I had one guy. We were handing out our Equal Justice tours. We had our Hillary shirts on. We had a good crowd. We looked good, but we were spread out all over the place, of course. And I had one guy tell me, he's driving by in a car, and I was handing cards to him as they went by in the car. And he rolled down his window. He says, "Hey, I agree with you, but this isn't the place to do it." Well, it's Joseph, what do you say about that? Huh? Well, where is the place? I said, to the freaking public street. What do you mean? It's not the place to do it. You get it, right? Separation between morality and state, separation between what's right and government. You get it, right? Huh? And so I didn't, although I wanted to, I didn't crawl in the window and grab him by the throat and punch him, although I wanted to. I should have said, "Sir, the Holy Spirit just saved your life." That's what I should have told him. But I just kind of stewed on that one, right? I just stewed on it. And then I got this email yesterday. Connor, Jared, whoever's working the gate back there, pull up that email. It says, what is it? Let me go to my own list here. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me a second. Say, there you are, Coach. You had that steak last night and you're in a bad mood. No, I didn't have a steak, but I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just calling them like I see him. Jared, it says, where is it? Where did I put it? Complaint. Pull up that, Connor, pull up the email that says complaint. Now, I got this yesterday from, you guys remember the article, the commentary I wrote yesterday about what happened down in Kentucky? No, West Virginia, they're the same. Kentucky, you have three teeth. West Virginia, you only have two. That's the only difference in those two places, really. Just kidding. About Alan Hoyle being assaulted. And Alan came last night, by the way. Ron Brock, they were there last night. So I wrote that commentary, and are you ready for this? Here's one of the emails I got. I'm not going to embarrass the person who sent it to me, but this is the kind of stuff that I deal with, okay, that we deal with. It says this. Here's the email. Do we have it up on the screen, Connor? I'm sorry. Let's see if everybody else is following along with me here. I'm not in my studio, so I'm a little bit confused about what's going on here. Is it up? There it is. Okay. This is... I want you to know I got about 50 emails yesterday on the commentary that I wrote. About 50. One negative. Why do we always focus on the negative? Because it makes a point here, okay? So here's the email that I got, and I took the person's name off of it after having read my commentary. Is this how our Lord Jesus Christ responded to offensive or sinful behavior? When he stood calmly before Pontius Pilate, the crowd was demanding his head, yet he didn't rage and protest the injustice like you've done for months. Which gospel are you trying to spread, his or yours? Good question. Do you realize how you sound to other Christians? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I said that. Do you realize how you sound to other Christians and those who need salvation? There we are. It's all about salvation. You're becoming a clanging bell. You're a piano with one key. I'll shock you. I took piano lessons when I was a kid. I can play them all. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive eternally. Please stop doing this to yourself. You are not sharing the good news. Huh? What's the good news? Anybody tell me what's good news? Anybody know the good news?
The good news is that Jesus made a way for anybody to come into the family. But the real news, is that you have to do it his way.
Well, and also isn't the real news is there's a new king in town? Isn't that the good news? Because I'm one of the places I'm heading, and I'm not trying to be critical. That place, say, Coach, you're so judgmental. I'm just telling you, okay? That place was filled last night with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and I wonder how many of them are already saved. I wonder if they are. And if they are really saved, what are they doing with their salvation? Robert, I'm sure you got a word for this, don't you?
Well, you know, Jesus came, okay, to destroy the works of the devil.
Right.
He came not to bring peace but a sword. He came to do the will of God,
mm-hmm.
which is obedience. And that's what we're supposed to do, be obedient, be the salt, be the light, bring the good news of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have righteousness and injustice.
You can't.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne of God.
Say that again, Robert. Righteousness and justice is the foundation of the throne of God. Justice. What is it? What did Micah 6:8? Was it 6:8? What did Micah say yesterday? Anybody remember that one? Anybody got that one written on their heart? Huh? This is the full duty of a Christian. What? To love justice? No. To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God, right? Act justly. And if we think that the Lord is pleased with injustice, part of the mentality of the email that I got is we're supposed to take it because we're supposed to suffer for the Lord. Now, I can open up the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you some places in the Old Testament where the Lord was the one doing the butt kicking. If you know what I'm talking about, y'all with me? And do you think he got born again in the New Testament? He went from being an old crabby guy to now he's young and healthy. Young guy, now he's all, come on, man. Come on. Hey, Connor, pull up Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Somebody come on in here. I'm in the middle of a rant, and I don't know if
hey, Coach. Sense.
Yeah.
You know what? If you plug all the info of the Bible into a computer and it reads out what the theme of the Bible is, it is simply this. Jesus came to establish a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now, are we supposed to do what Jesus did? Yeah. Well, so what'd he do? Establish a kingdom. That's what we're supposed to do. Establish his righteousness, his justice, and his reign. He's the king.
That's right. That's exactly right. All power's been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, he said, right? Go ye therefore. And as because we don't understand and we don't recognize, I promise you this, my friends. Very few people at the Franklin Graham Crusade last night understand kingship or lordship. Really. Salvation, they got that one down. Jesus is their Savior. They understand that. But what they call it, lordship salvation, isn't that what they call? Isn't that the term they give it, Robert? Lordship salvation? In other words, if you're saved and he ain't Lord, you ain't saved. sorry. I'm going to say that again because that's a mic drop. Huh? If you're saved and he ain't Lord, then you ain't saved. That's my take. All right. But go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't say you have to confess Jesus. It says you have to confess Jesus as Lord.
Mm. Man, oh man, oh man. So here's what really grieved me last night. If it was grieved, it's not the right word. What if Franklin Graham Should I say that, Lord?
It's true.
God bless Franklin Graham, but he's a Christian star. People came last night to see a star. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. They don't know they did. He's running. He's doing great things. But he is filling stadiums because he's running on the fumes of his daddy's name. Listen, I know that sounds harsh. I used to tell the truth before Donald Trump was even around. Right? If his name was Franklin Heath, there wouldn't have been anybody there last night, right? But people respect him. They respect him as a leader, as do I. Now, my question, as we were standing out there in our shirts, handing out the cards, my question said, why doesn't Franklin Graham say, tomorrow, 10 o'clock, I'll meet you all at the Planned Parenthood? Why didn't he say that? Or, listen, tomorrow, starting at 10 o'clock, here's the phone number. We're all calling Nancy Pelosi tomorrow beginning at 10 o'clock. Everybody here, here's her number, you call. Or tomorrow, or let's give them a little bit of a head start. 2 weeks from now, we're holding a rally at every state house in America demanding that they defy the federal government in regards to homosexual marriage. Am I missing something here? Would that have been appropriate, or would it come back to the email that I got? What was the email I got? That people just basically need to get them saved. Just get them saved. And I want to ask you this. As you get your salvation and you're saved, on your way to heaven, how many bodies are strewn along the sidewalk as you make your journey to heaven? Because it's all about salvation and who am I to judge and why should I get involved? How many young kids are drugged into sodomy while you wait on the rapture bus to get you out of here? Didn't that bother you? Didn't that bother Franklin Graham? Somebody come on in here. I'm going someplace. Stay with me. Somebody come in here and help me out a minute. Can anybody help me here? Am I missing it? Is what Franklin, you say, Coach, Franklin Graham's just plowing his row. Yeah, he is. And in that huge organization, we went down to Panama City. We saw all the great stuff they do in hurricane relief and tornado relief. You mean there isn't any abortion relief? His organization has no abortion relief group that shows up? No traditional marriage defense team that shows up? Why is everything that they do mercy only? I'll shut up a minute. Somebody come on in.
Well, you know that being saved thing, and you're walking along your life on the road of being saved, and then you get to Jesus standing there at the gate, and Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. All those people thought they were saved. They told Jesus how wonderful.
You mean those people? There, some of those people last night. You think they were?
Oh, I'm certain. Most of those people last night were in Matthew chapter 7, verses like 19 through 23. They thought they'd lived their lives and doing their ministry for Jesus, you know. But Jesus says, "Depart from me. Mm-hmm. I never knew you." They may have known all about Jesus,
amen,
but they didn't know enough about him.
They didn't know him. He didn't know them.
Yeah, they didn't know enough about him to make him their Lord.
Say, there you go, Coach. That steak. You had that steak last night. And you're complaining this morning. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm analyzing the game film. Somebody, come on in. Come on in. Go ahead, Robert.
You know, the Bible says, Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, what? To do good and to heal those who were oppressed by the devil.
Oppressed
now, are the unborn oppressed by the devil?
Yes, they are.
Are the kids in the public library, drag queens?
They sure are.
Oppressed by the devil?
Mic drop, Robert. Mic drop.
Is all the injustice in the courts?
Mm. For you to know to do good and not to do it, Robert, you it is, you're saved. You don't have to do good because you're saved. Is that what it is? Right?
Saved means being delivered, right? From sin, from the devil, from wickedness, injustice.
Do you guys, folks, do you understand that?
Can't hear you, Coach.
Do you guys know this? Are you ready for me? Are you sitting down? Do you know when Barack Obama filled stadiums full of people, he asked them to do something? You know that? Huh? He was bringing a new kind of salvation to them. Do you know that Maxine Waters said, go harass those people? get in their faces, right? We don't do that, right? Because we're Christians. We're Christians. Connor, do you have Ephesians up there? I think you do. Randy, were you going to say something? I walked on you, Randy. I invited you and then walked on you or somebody. Because I feel this morning.
Oh, Coach, I was just going to say this. I can help someone get saved. I mean, I do that. I've done that many times. But as what we're doing in our life, in our everything that we do, we should be carrying the banner that establishes his righteousness and justice. That message is superior to me, and my prosperity in my little life.
Randy, can I be spiritually successful while the world around me is going to hell?
No.
Larry, can we be spiritually successful? I lived a good life. I was holy. I kept all the rules while the world around me is going to hell. While they're teaching young kids to have butt sex. You with me, right? While they're teaching pharmakia. Bob, I have to have Robert on to talk about that. And most Christians so wrapped up on drugs because we don't understand the power of Christ to be able to heal us. We don't understand that anymore. Can I personally live a good, holy, righteous life? And will the Lord ignore the fact that I didn't do anything except live a personal, holy, righteous life?
What? No. Paul in the book of Romans wrote that if you sit by and watch all this stuff happening and you just let it happen, you are just as guilty of doing the stuff that's happening as the people doing it.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, Larry. I hate it. Somebody else come on in. I get to read it.
Dave,
go ahead. Hang on, yes, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think there's two things that keeps them. And it's not just the Graham ministry. Okay. This is a whole problem, I believe, with the churches. And that's why we have this Salt Light Brigade to supplement the church. Because one is they don't want to take on anything that's controversial. They want to be just play the nice stuff. That's why it's mercy ministry, because who could really come against them if they're doing something nice for the community? And the second one is they fall back on that 501c3, that, well, if we say something, we might get in trouble with the government.
Well, Mike Heath and I were talking last night. Somebody help me out here. Which president was it that hated Billy Graham? Billy Graham is dead. Which president was that again? Why, none of them. They all loved Billy Graham, didn't they? I got Christians don't even love me. Yet all the presidents love Billy Graham. Why? I'll let you answer. Come on in, Robert. You're going to say something.
Well, I was going to say, when Paul went to Athens, his spirit was provoked because the city was full of idols. He saw the idols in the city. And we have idols. It could
everywhere.
Be self. It could be our empire. Whatever. We need to be provoked when we see idols in the city.
Somebody help me get out of this rut.
The Bible say if you try to be friends with the world,
enmity,
you make yourself the enemy of God. You do.
Enmity with the world, right? Enmity with the world. Let me say this again. God bless Franklin Graham.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave, I love Franklin Graham. I think he is a good, decent man. Now, could he do more in certain areas that absolutely. But he's more in our camp than he's out of our camp.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
So
Roger, you know what I saw again last night? People are looking for leadership.
Yeah.
They're looking for leadership. We handed out, we wore our Hillary shirts, and everybody wanted Hillary in jail. Everybody wants Hillary in jail. Why isn't Hillary in jail? Why isn't Franklin Graham calling for Hillary to go to jail? Wait a minute. He doesn't have to do that. Why isn't he calling for equal justice? Why aren't our religious leaders standing up and crying out against unequal justice?
Coach?
Yep.
Because he won't be invited to the White House.
Well, I found out last night. I did a little research. He and I are the same age. He's 67. I'll be 67 in a month. We're the same age. And I'm thinking, you know, the older I get, the less I care about stuff. The older I get, I think some of you guys understand this. The older you get, the less you care what people think about you. right? You get to be older. Now you don't worry so much about what your kids think. You don't worry about what your name. You really don't care, right? So he's 67 years old. And I don't think he's controlled by his 501c3. I don't think he's, I don't know. I don't think he's controlled by the applause of, I don't know. I don't know what motivates him. But Mike Heath made a good point last night, or sort of made this point, that if Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, were to start coming out and fighting against some of these enemies, he would then become public enemy number one to the left. And what would happen to the donations? Now, listen, it's not about the money. All of the good work they do. What would happen to all of the good work they do? And so, therefore, I think he's weighed those two things, and he's walking the edge the best he can. But he can. What is it? What has he led? What has he led and called Americans to do? That's what. I know what.
Well, Dave, I think the 501c3 has to be factored in on that, okay? Because you know, when Trump was running for, as a candidate, there was 1,000 pastors gathered at New York, and he said he wanted to release them from the 501c3, and none of them clapped.
Right, right.
None of them clapped because they're hiding behind that. And you know, I'm just saying, you know, you could be right, but.
Well, Chad, so let me, I'm with you. Let me ask you, can somebody please, go ahead, Mike. Hang on before Mike speaks. Who can lead this charge for us? Franklin Graham, Rick Warren, who are the national leaders that can lead this charge? Go ahead, Mike.
To expand on your point about Franklin compared to Billy, his dad, and the balancing act that he's doing, I noticed when Trump was running that he set up 50 state stops, right? And,
yep.
And for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association to formally put his name,
that's pretty big,
on 50 states in the state capitals, obviously political, right?
Obviously.
Obviously mm-hmm. political. Billy Graham never did anything.
No, he didn't.
Never did anything approaching that. That was courage. That was courage on Franklin's part.
He's clearly more edgy than his dad ever was, right?
Absolutely. So I agree with you. He's balancing, right?
Yeah. Who's the Gideon? Who's the Gideon in America that's going to lead? Hey, guys, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We are on the verge of something, man. Somebody's going to have to grab a flag and run up a hill. And it has to be somebody who's going to grab a flag and run up a hill that others are going to listen to. And I don't know who it is. And I don't know who. Mike Huckabee. Maybe we can get Mike to do it. Well, go ahead, Joseph.
My favorite part, not to take away from Coach, but in Ephesians 6:17, it says, take your helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we're going to take our helmet and our sword and get out there.
Why do you need a helmet? In fact, when I was coaching Joseph and we called a timeout, are you listening, folks? I'd call the football guys over. I said, hey, take a knee, helmets off. Why? Why'd I tell them to take their helmets off?
So they can listen.
Because they don't need the helmet when they're talking to me. They need the helmet when they're out on the field. So when the Lord tells you that you have a helmet of salvation, when do you take it off? And why do you need it if you're not in the midst of a fight? So I've tried to go to Ephesians 6 a couple times, and Joseph just kicked me over there. I don't know if he meant to do that or not, Joseph. Hey, go watch Rick Warren if you don't like what I'm talking about, all right? Go find somebody else. Ephesians 10, 6, I'm sorry. Got it on the screen for me, Connor? Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Uh-oh, there's a mic drop. We don't even know what power he has, do we? Church doesn't even know it. Do you think Franklin Graham, I'm just asking, could Franklin Graham himself, with all of the power that he has behind him, let alone the power of God, could Franklin Graham lead a movement to end abortion? You vote yes or no, Mike.
In a heartbeat.
Larry?
Absolutely. He could.
Robert?
Sure.
Joseph?
Yep, he had the chance to do it.
He could do it, right? Mm-hmm. He could do it. Why will he not? I'm not criticizing the guy. God bless Franklin Graham. He's edgy. He could do it. Why won't he? Okay, so hang on. Let's come back here. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Hey, boys, when the game is over, all of them stripped off their shoulder pads. All of them. Helmets and shoulder pads, they took them off. They knew the game was over. They took them off. We don't even have shoulders and helmets, shoulder pads and helmets. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Hang on, I'm going somewhere. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, folks, listen. The battle in the natural world is a natural carnal battle. You understand that? Do you understand that when those cross-dressers go into public libraries, that there is a carnal, physical result to what they're doing? Am I right on that, Mike? Why are they going into the? Why are they going in after those little kids? Come on now. Why? Because listen, we could just say, well, our battle's spiritual. It's just a spiritual battle, Coach. We just got to pray against that. And while we just pray against that, they go in there and they lure and they draw and they convert little boys and girls into sexual deviants. So the spiritual battle has a physical consequence. You see that? Come on, tell me you can see that. Tell me you can see that, right?
Yes, Coach.
So it would be simple if we could just say, well, it's a spiritual battle. Yeah, but it's a spiritual battle that has physical consequences. And you know why you guys get mad and you fight and you scream and holler and say, oh, the devil's after my finances. Say, oh, dude, don't worry about it. That's spiritual, man. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No, you worry about it because it takes physical money to buy physical things to live physically. It takes those things. And even though the stealing of your money may be a spiritual issue, it's showing up in the natural realm. Am I ringing my bell? You understand what I'm saying? So Paul's telling us here that there's a spiritual force behind what's going on in the natural world. He's not telling you not to fight in the natural world. He said, understand that as you go to war, it is spiritual forces that you are fighting against. And you got to take your full armor and you have to go in there and you got to root them out because it is a war spiritually, but it shows up carnally.
Coach, you don't wear armor to stay alive and be nice. You wear armor to stay alive and go destroy the enemy.
You have the armor on purpose. Because by the way, Larry, there's no armor on the back. No armor on the back. This is a forward moving progressive fight against the forces of darkness. And we act like because we're so spiritual that there is no physical battle. Come on, man. Come on. And as I said last night, the road to heaven is paved and strewn with bodies that we didn't go out and try to help because we were so spiritually conscious that we weren't any earthly good. There are bodies laying everywhere on this battle to heaven, on this road to heaven. We're stepping over bodies everywhere we go. And we have no obligation, we feel no urgency to step out and try to rescue those as we're on our way. Well, Coach, we can't be political. Well, pardon me. Hell, they are! And they're destroying everything Christian because they are involved politically and we are in our prayer room.
Coach, here's...
Robert's got one for us. Go ahead, Robert.
Coach, here's a good verse of war brought to my mind here. Paul said, finally, my brethren,
finally,
rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, but it is a safeguard for you. What does he write as a safeguard? Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision, the so-called professing believers, if you will. For we are the true circumcision, to worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So Paul warned about not just spiritual deception, but the dogs, the evil workers, the false professing believers,
amen,
the false church. Beware, beware.
Beware of those, huh? Mm-hmm. Beware of those, right? Yeah. So, in other words, my wife and I, when we get home after this event down there, and we pull in, and when we get out of the car, we live out in the country. Sometimes at night, I hear those coyotes roaring and barking. It's the most blood chilling thing over here when they corner a deer and they, it's something. So if I pull into my driveway, we get out of the car, and all of a sudden, my wife is surrounded by a pack of coyotes. Do I say, honey, I'm not called to help you. I'm not called. Huh? She wouldn't even have to say anything to me. I'd be out there kicking and swinging and throwing stones. I would naturally do everything I could to protect the woman that I love. Now, we have two issues that we have to deal with. Either we don't love our neighbor, Larry. Now, who is our neighbor? Either we don't love them, or we're cowardly. There's only two ways that you can cut that one. So we see these, dare I say it, these coyotes, these hyenas going into the public library, by the way, funded with your tax dollars, to be devoured by the wolves. And we say, that's not my call. I can't read. I don't go to libraries. Somebody think, am I missing something here? Can somebody far more spiritual than me come in and tell me where I'm really off base? Come on in. Most of my fights are in the natural world. They may be spiritual in origin, but they're carnal and natural in the real life. When I sit down in front of my computer at night, just like you do, that devil's always trying to get me to look at something I shouldn't. Always trying to. But see, the battle is spiritual. He's trying to get me to do it. And if he wins the battle, what happens? I clicked on it, don't I? So the spiritual battle is to try to pull you off target carnally in the natural realm. And so we tell people, we try to train them in spiritual warfare. Why? To keep the spiritual realm from impacting the natural realm. That's what spiritual warfare is all about, isn't it?
I was going to say here in 14, it says, stand therefore, have your lines of girt about the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness.
Truth and righteousness, huh? I'm not called to be righteous. That's not my calling. It's crazy, isn't it? Somebody come in here. I'm having a monologue here. I like that.
Dave, I'm a little disappointed.
All right, good.
I'm a little disappointed. Well, and I'm saying that with a smile on my face, but I think Jesus said a lot of repent. Repent.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if in these conferences, you hear much about repent, repent.
Well, they have an altar call. They probably do, Roger, a little bit at the altar call.
My personal opinion is the altar call is more tied to salvation than it is to repent.
Yeah. It's like this, Roger. I think I've told this story before. When I went to London High School in 1989, the team wasn't very good, and I saw most of the good players were walking the halls. They weren't even playing football. I went out and recruited them in the offseason so that I could get them all out to be on the team the next year. And you know what happened? A lot of them came and started playing, but here was the amazing thing. They had to be trained. I had to train them how to play. When I trained them how to play, they honed their skills and they got good at playing. when you go to church on Sunday, what are they teaching you to do? How are they teaching you to play the game of life? Somebody help me. Because everything you're dealing with in your life, folks, listen, sit down. You're a big boy and a big girl. Everything you're dealing with in your life is natural. It's in the natural realm. Everything you're doing. And Paul said, listen, don't miss this. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Your real battle's in the heavenlies. It's a spiritual thing. But it's showing up here. See, if it was just in the spirit realm, you wouldn't even know it. In fact, it's going on. That battle's going on all around us. So we don't even hear the noise of the battle. We don't even know it. We only recognize there's a battle when it shows up in the physical realm. And Paul's saying, listen, don't miss this. When you're out of money, there's a reason why, and it's spiritual, or it's disobedience. Something. There's something going on. When this shows up, listen, this is happening to you, not because the devil's attacking you necessarily, but because you are disobedient spiritually. So you go out and you run up your credit card and you get a lot of debt on your credit card. You blame the devil all you want to. You did it. You did it. And it's a spiritual thing. What's that spiritual thing? You want that. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. That's a spiritual issue. And your battle is not against the bank. It's against those spiritual forces that are making you lust to go put more on your credit card than you should. Can't you see this? Why are kids turning into homosexuality? Because the spiritual realm has impacted others to come in and try to entice them. And we don't even care. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you asked Paul, what are churches teaching people to do? They're teaching them to do mercy ministry.
Mercy.
Either go out and do it yourself or put the money in the plate so we can send people who are willing to do it. But here's the kicker. And I'm not going to give you the answer to the kicker because you can dig it out yourself. It's in Matthew chapter 25. You've got to do that mercy ministry to the right people, because if you do it to the wrong people, it don't count for diddly squat and you end up in hell. You've got to do it to the least of these, my brethren.
You do it out of love, man. Yeah, Robert.
This is how Paul dealt with the physical. When you're talking about 1 Corinthians 9:26. He says, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating in the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, lest after I have preached to others, I myself will become reprobate.
Mm.
That's how he dealt with the physical.
So, Robert, if the battle is spiritual, why is he even mentioning the carnal? Right? Because everything, I believe, manifests first in the spiritual realm. That's why Paul said, listen, put on the full armor, because your battle's not against flesh and blood. That's not it. The people that we run into out on the streets. Like yesterday, we showed the video of the those girls, those pro-choice girls. Folks, that's not them. That's a demonic influence. And that's what Paul's saying. Realize that when you're fighting with them, you're fighting spiritual forces behind them. There are spiritual forces behind them. It's just manifesting in the natural realm. But the real battle isn't with that person. It's with that spirit that's behind them. And I got to tell you this. Love isn't the only weapon you have. There's more weapons than just love. Somebody come on in. I've been rambling today.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, I've got... Here's what you're saying here. Last few days we've been listening. And, you know, nobody's going into them schools. So, and it's been weighing on my heart for a while. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And, you know, like you've always said, for how many years, 15 years, we can't get the pastors to go in them schools or any of the church leaders. So I've just decided it's time to do it. You know, all that deal with Freshwater years ago, I'm going to hit all the school board meetings the rest of this school year, which is about 3/4 a year. And I do have an appointment today at 2:30 to sit down one-on-one with the superintendent of Knox County Schools. Now, everybody's telling me he's a great Christian man. So I'm going in to find out and ask him just how much do you really love the children? That's what they
Amen.
Always say.
Amen.
Well, we do love the children. Yes. So, and I found a little bit of insight yesterday. I've talked to a few people that I got some inside scoop on what he's doing, what's going on. So I'm hoping and praying it'll be a great day. So guys, just pray for me at 2:30 this afternoon.
That is awesome, Jeff. Let me piggyback off of that. For those of you who don't know John Freshwater, he was the guy who had the Bible on his desk, went through a huge national battle for the right to be high, keep his Bible on his desk. Now listen, folks, was that a carnal battle or a spiritual battle? Who was behind that move to get that Bible removed from the schools? Was that a group of people, or was it a spirit behind a group of people? That's what Paul said, that the battle's not with that group of people, although you have to go through them, you have to fight them, but that's not really the battle. The battle is this antichrist spirit, right? So Jeff's going to confront this superintendent, and I hope he's going to say to him, hey, dude, you claim to be a Christian, right? You care about the children, right? Okay, hey, where's this showing up? Can you show me where you're doing? They're doing this and this and this and this and this. Can you show me where that you love the children? That's what you're going to do, right, Jeff?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm going to explain to him as a Christian now, 25 years of coaching these kids of middle school football and high school baseball and little league baseball and for the love of the children. Now look at what we got. And I got some inside scoop yesterday.
And well, keep it inside. Keep it inside.
And I'm going to go in and because now I got a little bit of info, you know what I mean? Right. On what's going on in there and what they're trying to battle. So now I'm going to go in and offer some help that I'll be willing to take it. You know what I mean?
Jeff, how about this one? This just came to me. You listening, Joseph? Yeah. God's not given us a spirit of fear. That tells me that there's a spiritual component to fear. That tells me that I'm not wrestling against somebody else. I'm wrestling against a spirit. And the only way I conquer the spirit of fear is to go do what I'm afraid of.
Dave, yes. Dave, that's not in the Bible, is it? Is that in the Bible? Well, is that in that Bible? Or is this is this an original thought of yours? I want to know.
Yeah, it is. I came with it on my own.
Well, look at Ephesians 6 here on verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in the bound, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Amen. So, Joseph, that's a physical thing, isn't it? Speaking? Isn't that a physical?
Standing up.
Standing up and speaking is a physical reaction to a spiritual issue, right?
Oh, no, he can sit there and just think these thoughts.
He's not called to.
Him is going to know exactly what he's thinking. Of course it's physical.
Yes, he's not called to do that. Okay, Robert, get that book open today. Robert's sitting right here live and in color with his. I bet it has something to do with today, doesn't it? Huh?
Sure does.
Huh?
That's something to do with fear.
That's something to do with fear, because exactly. God's not giving us a spirit. Hey, folks, listen. Listen, I love all of you. Whether you will admit it or not, and I'm talking to me now, most of us are motivated by fear. Most of us are. And fear can be very, very healthy, but the spirit of fear is not. It's not. And I know this, that most of the people that we come in contact with, and we try to get them to come out on the streets and help us, they are afraid. It's a spirit. That's the Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the person I'm wrestling against. I'm wrestling against that spirit of fear that is on them. And until we recognize that, I'm going to turn the camera here towards Robert. I'm going to let him, live and in color, read that to us.
Hey, Coach, like we said before, I think the key issue is fear, like we said. Here it is. Here's a quote by A.W. Tozer. The only fear I have is the fear to get out of the will of God. Outside of the will of God, there's nothing I want. And in the will of God, there's nothing I fear.
Mm.
For God has sworn to keep me in his will. And we go on. It says, there is no fear for any demon to overpower you, any temptation to control you, lie to deceive you, situation to discourage you, trial to stumble you, lack to concern you, sin to ensnare you, accusation to condemn you, or worry to trouble you. No fear of those.
Amen.
You belong to the King of Kings. Like, you know what king is? One who rules, okay? Shepherds.
That's
rules.
Right.
You belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the shepherd and guardian of your soul, to the wonderful counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and the Holy and Righteous One. And that's why we promote justice. We belong to the Righteous One. God continues to reign supremely on the earth and desires to rule supernaturally and triumphantly in your life. Our Heavenly Father is still making all his enemies a footstool for his feet.
How's he doing that, I wonder? How's he doing that? Go ahead.
Submitted under those who bring good news of good things to bad people in these evil days.
Amen.
That's the kingdom of God.
Right.
So let's get to stepping, for God has given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.
Now, see, Robert, I'm being serious here. Is he talking about physical snakes, you think?
He's talking about any kind of
anything,
that's
right?
Going to come and poison you.
Why would he use snake? Because right. what is the image of snake in the Bible, throughout the Bible, right?
Yeah, and his image of fear.
Right. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped previously the corruption that is in the world by lust. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world.
Even our faith.
Not fear, faith.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. I need 2 hours. Yeah.
Thank you, Robert, for that. That is fitting for me for today. And I got your box of books yesterday, opened them up. I'm going to read that over and over 3 or 4 times today. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read that.
Give it to the superintendent.
Well, I'm going to read it to him, and then I'm going to hand him a book, one of Robert's books.
Amen. Wow. Somebody help me wind it up here.
Well, one thing I want to say about Jeff is that, you know, he probably doesn't even have any kids going to those schools.
His grandkids.
And he's up there doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got grandkids. But, see, he just has a once removed fight in the game.
Mm-hmm. See, but you know what?
Appreciate
He still fights alone. Still fights alone a lot of times. He's got, for the most part, he's doing it alone, right?
Oh, hey, who walked out there with David?
David didn't even have a stone carrier.
Yeah, that's right. David didn't know. I got 7 minutes. Right? 7 minutes. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach. James 1:22.
James 1:22. Give us Randy.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself.
Wow. Let's camp there a minute. Wait a minute. Randy, read that again. In fact, Connor, throw that up on the screen. What was that, Randy?
But James 1:22.
James 1:22. Let's give Connor a second to get it up on the screen because I want people to see that and I want them to think about it. James.
Coach, the point is this. If you just hear it and you don't do it, you are deceiving yourself.
Wow. That's what it says, isn't it? Isn't that what it says there?
Hang
on here a minute. I'm looking at the screen. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. How would that be deceiving yourself? If you were a hearer and not a doer, how's that deception? That's an odd word he used there, isn't it? Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you're a hearer only, you're deceiving your own self. In what way?
Coach, a pew warmer.
A pew warmer.
You're thinking you got the ticket to get in and you don't.
Oh, you're thinking just hearing it makes you a doer. Right?
So stand and be boldly.
It's a great deception.
And then verse 25, Coach, it says the man that does, that is that doer, he is blessed in his deed.
But so whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful here. How about that one, Larry? When's the last time you saw that? When's the last time you looked at yourself and said, you know what? I'm a forgetful here. That's what it says. But a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his hearing, praying. Randy said, Coach, I got to go back and put my hands on that gate. I got to go back and do that, Coach. Randy, you were blessed in that deed. More than you even know. How do I know? Because that's the promise of the word. You are blessed in your deed, Randy. There's fruit coming from that beyond what we can ever imagine. No matter how many people tell you, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time, Randy. I hear that one a lot. Wow. Yeah, Larry, somebody?
James 4:17. James didn't stop there in chapter 2. James 4:17. If you know to do good and don't do it, man, you are a sinner.
Is there anything more desperately wicked than self-deception? Wow.
Coach.
Robert.
Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do God's will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or of himself. So if you're willing to do the will of God, you will understand and know God and know the teaching necessary to carry out the will of God. We've got to be willing to do the will of God, not just talk about it.
John 7:17.
So last night we're out there and handing out these equal justice cards to these people. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you, they openly, these are Christians, right? They openly hate Hillary. Now, they don't hate her with a hateful heart. Is this making sense? They hate her wicked deeds. They hate her. And I said last night, who's leading the charge against her? Is anybody leading the charge? All of those people there, not all of them, 95% of them, that's a guess, are sick of injustice. They're sick of it. Did Franklin Graham speak about it last night? Did he appeal to all those people to do something about the injustice? So I keep coming back to the same. Hey, I can pray with the best of them. I can hold somebody's hand and cry with the best of them. Oh, I can make people feel good with the best of them. But if I don't compel them to action, I'm a clinking cymbal. If they don't take what we've just read it here over and over and over and over. If we don't turn what we believe into action, we're deceiving ourselves. I've never, ever seen that. Randy, we're deceiving ourselves. What could be worse than self-deception? That's a spiritual issue.
Dave.
You see in Ephesians 6 again.
Ephesians, go ahead, Joseph.
Ron 22. Do I have sent unto you the same purpose that you might not know
our affairs,
that I might comfort your hearts.
Amen. And understand what's going on. Roger, you going to say something?
Chad was.
Chad, go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to reflect back, you know, on our last assembly that we had here. You know, there was a word that came to me on Friday morning. It was, the word was reconciliation. And so I text Randy and I said, hey, see if you can put something together about reconciliation. So Saturday when I meet up with him, I said, hey, did you get anything on reconciliation? He said, man, I got a blank. I got nothing. See, God blocked him because he said, I didn't give that to Randy. I gave that to you. And you tried to pawn it off on somebody else.
Amen, Chad.
And then so once I brought that reconciliation out there, I didn't really know what I was going to say. We talked about that for 90 minutes.
Amen, Chad. Amen.
90 minutes on one word. And I know I don't say reconciliation. I say, let's get together. So that was, you know, look, that was a lesson learned. If he's putting it on you, don't pass it on to somebody
Amen,
else.
Amen, brother. Whatever
we're
he says
ignoring
you.
We're ignoring it. We're ignoring it.
Whatever he says unto you, do it. Hey, let me make it clear. I love Franklin Graham. God bless Franklin Graham. Hey, I just hope he doesn't miss this time of his visitation. what an opportunity for him to have an lasting impact, more of a lasting impact than rebuilding somebody's house, putting a roof on somebody's house. Those are all good things. But man, oh man, the opportunity laid in his hands to make a difference spiritually in this culture. I pray the Lord opens his eyes or brings somebody alongside of him. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for watching us here from Mayberry RFD. We'll see you on Monday.